Well, would you turn again to that passage of scripture that we read in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. We should be thinking particularly about these verses 17 to 25. But just to fit in the context, following his normal form of address and greetings to the church at Corinth, which we have in verses 1 to 3, Paul goes on to tell them that he continually thanks God for them, and he does so in terms that clearly indicate that these people were genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God had come to them and had called them into the fellowship of his Son. However, though they were genuinely converted believers, though this was a real true church of Christ, all was not well, and the apostle has to plead with them for unity in the church. He had received the disturbing news that they were quarrelling among themselves and splitting up into various parties, each with its own slogan: I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas. And there were some who saw the wrongness of all this, and their shibboleth was, I of Christ, which was, in a manner, correct. But when they lower Christ to the level of a party head in competition with other party heads, then that party too is wrong. So Paul deals with this matter of divisions in the church and pleads for unity. He asks the rhetorical question: is Christ divided? Are there different kinds of Christ? A Paul Christ, an Apollos Christ, a Cephas Christ, and an unmarked Christ? The answer is obvious: of course not. The whole idea is absurd. Paul says, was I crucified for you? Or were you baptized in my name? Of course not. So why do you have all these silly wranglings? Well, having then made the point that he baptized very few of them, Paul concludes this opening section with the words that commence our passage tonight. He said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. For Paul, the primary task was to preach the gospel, to spread the gospel, to sow the good seed of the word, to preach for the conversion of sinners, and so to make disciples. Baptism follows conversion, and others could see to that. It would seem to me that the apostle here is making an important point, indeed, in a sense, laying down a crucial principle with regard to the work of the ministry, and that is the primacy of preaching, the primacy of preaching. You see, when one's preaching the word of God begins to take a secondary place in the life of a church and in its gatherings for worship, then the door opens up for apostasy. And apostasy will creep in. In some churches today, preaching has been usurped by things like drama and dance and music. I looked at a church website a few days ago, a church which is near to where I live, and they describe their services as acoustic worship. Acoustic worship. Well, it can only be imagined what goes on in such services. But we can be sure of this: it is not the preaching of the word of God that attracts the large numbers that go to that church. And so it is also when the ordinances are given primary importance over preaching, when rites are considered more important than the truth of the gospel. I expect that, like me, you've had someone tell you when you've been talking to them about the Lord or about going to church and that, or if they discover that you go to church, you've had someone tell you that, oh, they go to such and such a church because they like the ceremony, or they like the ritual, they like the bells and the smells or the music. And that is the important thing for them. That's what attracts them to that particular church. And it gives them a nice feeling. And any preaching, if there is any preaching, is secondary to all that. Here Paul puts things in a right perspective by subordinating the ordinance of baptism to the preaching of the gospel, to proclaiming the truth of God's word. And so Paul says, Christ sent me to preach the gospel. Now, first of all, I want us to consider the manner in which Paul preached the gospel. The manner in which he preached the gospel. Paul tells us what the manner of his preaching was in a negative way. In other words, what it was not. He says in verse 17 that when he preached the gospel and when he preached the cross of Christ, he did so not with wisdom of words. And the emphasis here is on wisdom. It is in verse 19 the wisdom of the wise, and in verse 20 the wisdom of this world. It is human wisdom as opposed to revealed truth. Truth revealed by God. Calvin says that such wisdom consists of skillful contrivance of subjects, ingenious arrangement, and elegance of expression. Matthew Henry describes it as the flourish of oratory, or the accuracies of philosophical language upon which the Greeks so much prided themselves. However, while what Calvin and Matthew Henry say is undoubtedly true, it is only part of what Paul is referring to when he uses the term wisdom of words. Observe that Paul did not say the wisdom of words, just wisdom of words. In other words, he's not talking about wise words, words that are wise or contain wisdom. We might speak about the wisdom of Solomon in that sense. You see, after all, the Bible is full of wise words. Paul's own letters are full of wise words. The gospel itself consists of wise words, which, if a man listens to and embraces by faith, will save his soul. In fact, Paul doesn't even use the plural words. He actually says, not in wisdom of word. Or, to put it another way around, not in word wisdom. Now, this word, not in wisdom word, the same word is used in the following verse where Paul speaks of the message of the cross. The message of the cross. In the Authorised Version, it is translated as the preaching of the cross. The RSV, the New American Standard Bible, and the English Standard Bible have the word of the cross. And bringing together these various renderings, and they are all legitimate, the message, the preaching, the word of the cross, we have the proclamation of the doctrine the proclamation of the doctrine, the meaning of the cross. And that is the substance of Paul's preaching. What Paul is saying in verse 17 is that when he preaches this gospel of a crucified Saviour, he makes no concessions to human wisdom, to the cleverness of this world, to the latest philosophic or scientific thinking of the day. No concessions whatsoever. In Galatia, as you will know from reading the letter to the Galatians, there were the Judaizers who preached the gospel, but they mingled the law in with the gospel, insisting that believers in Christ must keep the law. They must be circumcised. And their preaching was a mixture of gospel and human wisdom. And in so doing, they made the cross of Christ of no effect. It was no gospel. In our own day, we have preachers who accept the theories and speculations of so-called science and adapt their preaching accordingly. Some will deny the historicity of the book of Genesis.